Hi, I'm Terry Snowden. Welcome to the Forever Mancunians series here on the Forever Manchester podcast platform. In each episode, we bring you an interesting and inspirational conversation with local people doing extraordinary things in our communities. My guest is Greg Davis. He's the founder of the well-established United Estates of Withinshaw, based in Benchill, and from where they originally took the most troublesome youngsters, and they worked in partnership with recognised street leaders after local families came together in an attempt to address the growing influence of youth nuisance, street gangs and spiralling incidents of antisocial behaviour. I'm delighted to say hello and welcome to the founder of the United Estates of Withinshaw, Greg Davis. Welcome.
Hello, Terry, and thank you for the invite to be your guest on the show, mate. It's a great accolade.
I gather it's been eventful and a bit of an eventful journey for you, Greg. I've got three questions to kick us off. Where did it all start? Why did you start it? And I think I know what a recognised street leader is, but perhaps you can elaborate.
Recognised street leader is the kid on the estate that will get your bike back when it's been nicked from outside your house or outside the shops, whereas you phone the police and the police can do nothing about it. Or think of any crime or misdemeanor where you would like to phone the police in an ideal world and say, can you get me back? And they say, have you got any evidence, have you got any witnesses? No, we can't. There's always somebody, and this is right probably across the world, but certainly in places like Withinshaw in the UK, there's always somebody on that estate that knows somebody that will get your property back. And I would call them community leaders rather than, yeah, street leaders. I think it probably synonymous, same thing. But there's community leaders, there's people of influence on every estate right across the country. And if you can engage with these people, why reinvent the wheel?
So where did it start and why did you start? Obviously it started in Benchill.
Where and why? So where, I'm driving past, we're doing, we got involved in door security, we're doing a lot of outdoor events, we've done Brighton, Reading, we've done the Round Day Leeds concerts. I'm coming back from Brighton Festival, middle of the day, broad daylight. I'm passing the church on my way home that was my boyhood Sunday school church, and it was a state, it was a scene of devastation. There was a huge gang of kids in the car park, they're on the roof, they're actively breaking the windows. I mean, it had gone past vandalism, it was wanton destruction, but what gripped me was, it's broad daylight, there's adults, what, why was nobody challenging this bunch of kids? But what really punched me right in the face was, it's a church, and get the pressures on kids, especially now, probably more than then, to be tough, to join the street gangs, to look hard. And there's a fruit fly in this country. Doesn't bite, it doesn't sting. It's black and yellow, looks like a wasp. And its only defence is, it looks like a wasp. I'm thinking 99% of these kids are this fruit fly scenario. They don't want to be rough and tough, but their defence mechanism is to join a gang and to be rough and to be tough. And it, everything kind of overflows from that desire. So I'm driving past, I stop my car, I get out. The bizarre thing was, passing the church wasn't even on my way home at that time. I took a kind of subliminal detour, and I really had a rant at the kids. I mean, what got me, but it, lads, it's a church, what you doing? I mean, this seems like another 20% on top of the activities you normally get involved. Do you know you're smashing up an house of God? Is that what's, is that on your radar? And one of the kids at the back had kind of, he'd shouted, I'd said to them, as a kind of, right, get off the grounds, I'm going, and I'd said, you know what, you lot, why do you look so intimidating with your hoods up and your caps down? And I said, you know what, I'd cross the road to avoid you lot. And one of the older kids, and bearing in mind there's about 20 of them, he'd said to me, would you walk about round here on your own? And I thought, is that where we are in Withinshaw? I'm going back 20 odd years, is that where we are in Withinshaw? That a kid of 15 feels like he's not safe to walk around unless he's in big numbers, and that's a shocking state of affairs. If that's where we are, then that's disgraceful. Right. Very simply, I'll cut a meandering story a bit shorter. I went to see, and I made it a point to see the minister that was in charge of the church, and I said, where are we going? And he said, well, we've decided to shut the church. And I said, you're shutting the church on an estate like Benchill? He said, we're shutting, it's been minuted, there's been attacks on the parishioners, there's vandalism, as you can see, graffiti, we're shutting. And I said, well, give us the building for a year, let's see if I can get the bad kids on the inside. And he said, yes, instantly. And a lesson in life is, if you're asking for a lease on a building that's not got a roof on it, and the person in charge says yes instantly, don't take the lease. We took the lease, that was
Don't take the lease.
We took the lease in 1996 and we're still there.
I read somewhere the overriding aim is to provide a social, cultural centre.
Cultural centre.
People. Expand on that for
expand
me?
On that. Why not? Yes. So when the BBC and the echelons of power, the government officials, when they talk about diversity, they're talking right out of the bums. Diversity lives in places like Wythenshawe, Moston, Blakely, Mosside. That's where diversity is real, not this sanitised. It's like when the BBC talks about diversity, it's like taking a money, right, with all its little brushstrokes and all its little anomalies, and putting it through a computer, and then it's sanitised, and then it's a beautiful... Diversity ain't like... Diversity is real life. It exists in Wythenshawe. It's real. It's us. It's what we're about. And you look at a map of the country, and you've got your Afro-Caribbean centres, and you've got your Irish centres, your Islamic centres, you've got your Pakistani cultural centres. It seems to be that every culture gets their own centre. That is brilliant. Do you know what? Absolutely fantastic. Let's build more of them. But inner cities are culture. Inner cities... My background, I would describe me as of an inner city culture. Now, inner city culture includes people with black skin, white skin, gay people, straight people, men, women, boys, girls. If you're born into an inner city area, you take on the characteristics, the traits, the customs of that area. Now, you look at this map again, and next to your Islamics and your Polish and your Indian and your Irish centres, where's the inner city cultural centres? Well, that's for everybody. That's real diversity. There's no bars, there's no barriers, there's a gym, there's a music room, dance studio, there's a little chapel, there's a spiritual area. Why aren't we building inner city cultural centres for people that feel that they are of a specific culture, which is in a city? Where are they?
So was that the aim?
That was the thinking behind it. And the reality was that the people of the estate bought into it because, you may or may not know, but because of our particular backgrounds of the people that sit on the management team, these street leaders, but I would call them community leaders, it's very difficult to get funding when your background, your pedigree is... In a city, basically, in a city culture.
Is that like another way of saying when you're known to the authority?
When you know, when you raise a red flag every time you put your head above the parapet. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. That's probably another way of putting it, yeah.
Now, after a seminal street-based conference, so you organised a conference in 2007.
2007, yeah.
And you brought together gang leaders from right across the UK.
We did.
So was that about replicating the idea of the model that you were rolling out and sharing it with others?
I'd done a talk in front of Joseph Rowntree, the social research group, and I said, I've got this idea whereby you've got the media that are slandering our inner city kids mercilessly. You know, if that was any other culture, if that was a recognised culture, they were calling us pikeys and chabs and hoodies and feral. And, hey, listen, I'm a culture. Me, I belong to a culture. And the point I'm making is if that was another culture, you'd have been taken to court. You know, your feet wouldn't have touched the ground. Yet because we're inner city kids, you can call us whatever you want, and that's okay. That's perfectly legal. And at the same time, Helen Newlove, who now sits as a baroness, her husband had been murdered essentially by a youth gang, and that was prompting the media to become hysterical. There was a fellow called David Asquith, who was an adult from Stockport, a bit of an horrible story, again, murdered by essentially a youth gang. And there was a few, was Fiona Pilkinson, the other famous one, the goth girl, that was murdered because she was wearing Sophie Lancaster, again, essentially by children, youth gangs, and the papers were hysterical. And every time we worked a concert out of Manchester, I always met the community leaders, let's call them community leaders, that could give us the biggest problem. We worked all over the place at one time. And I had this real big contact list of people on the estates that were real community leaders, not your council paid, real community leaders. And I phoned up the Birmingham, there was a group called the Burger Boys. Liverpool came, Sheffield came. We had 50 street leaders right across the country. And the chat was in tune with, listen, the kids on the estates, they're actually searching out hostile street gangs, and the more violent, the better, they feel safe. And it's almost replaced the family in terms of a structure where the kids feel safe. Now, when that happens, then we've all got problems. You know, if kids are joining street gangs purely to feel safe, then where do we go? You know, where's the next step down? Because it's not up. And the conversation, it was a two-dayer. Joseph Rowntree's funded it. I don't think they believe we could pull it off, actually. Joseph Rowntree wrote it up. There's quite an impressive report on the internet, actually. Joseph Rowntree written, not by us, I might add. And the end result was a result which you very rarely see from a conference, which we actually turned into reality, was what we need is an inner city cultural centre. So yes, you've got cultural centres which looked after the needs, the aspirations, the desires, you know, advocacy, support, advice, all that, you know, all that, which is brilliant. Big thumbs up to that. But inner city kids don't get any of that. And that really was the turning point. But we based it strongly. I mean, when I was knocking about working in Manchester, there was a nightclub called the Hacienda, and it was a real huge lesson in life. I mean, the Hacienda was iconic well before its time. I mean, the business plan, there was no business plan. I mean, the plan, there was no plan. But it was very careful not to label itself. So it was a disco, but no, it wasn't a disco. It was a nightclub, never called itself a nightclub. Live music venue, never labelled it. It was the Hacienda. Yet there was queues of 200, 300 yards around the corner. So that meant, logically, when you dissect that the people that went to the Hacienda, they went for their own reasons. So when we got control of the building we're in, it is a gym, yes, but we never called it a gym. It's got a very good recording studio, but we never so that means the people that come to our building come for their own reasons. Right. I'm going to give you one more very important lesson we learned in the construction. When we took the building on, it had been badly vandalised. The kids took great delight in showing me where they'd fractured the gas main at the back, but they'd plugged it so you could go around the back, unplug it and set it on fire and cook sausages on it. And, do you know what? Absolute bloody genius, to be honest. Now, as you go between Manchester to Leeds...
I'm life-threatening.
Yeah, you could say you keep coming on the downside of things.
Okay.
You go from Manchester to Leeds, and there's a farm in the middle of the motorway where the farmer refused to move. So you've got this stretching motorway and a bloody farm right in the middle
famous
of it.
Famous, that farm.
Oh, amazing. Now, just beyond the farm, to give you a landmark, there's a bridge cut between two swathes of rock. It's got to be 50 foot up. Fast-flowing motorway in both directions, right? As you drive underneath the bridge... Somebody's wrote Garanga, be happy, Garanga, right? It's not a Banksy, it's not a Monet, it's not art, it's graffiti, which is illegal. Now, some kid got on the bridge, got underneath it, 50 foot up, fast flowing motorway, and wrote Garanga. Genius, right? Absolute utter, who did that? What a genius. Now, if you can take that creative form of vandalism and apply that to a construction process, then what could you not do in Withenshaw or places like Withenshaw, inner city estates which have been neglected for years, which are classed as deprived, but even that's external. I didn't put my hand up and go, see us, we're deprived. That's external. That's somebody looking at us and going, you lot are deprived. And then the kids on the estate, yeah, okay, we're deprived. But what about that creative vandalism? What about the genius that's on the estates that enables kids to do things like fracture a gas main, plug it up, then come back in the night and cook sausages on it?
Let me take you back to the street-based conference. So did the other attendees take the lessons from that away develop it within their own communities?
Fractured it. So where we developed on a multifaceted type front, whereas what I wanted to do was build a forum where people could come in and say, do you know what we need here? An hairdresser's or a dance studio a security company. That's what we need here. We've got a gardening service. We've got a window cleaning round. But that's what I wanted it to be. In other words, I wanted to be lazy. I wanted to have this building. I wanted to take the glory. Who wouldn't want to take the glory? And we've pulled it off to a big degree. But what happened in Birmingham is they've just got a recording studio, which I have to reluctantly agree is miles better than ours. So they took the ideas away. They built their own version of any city cut. And don't forget, there's going to be a twist of the cultural dial right across from Birmingham. Their version of culture was based around music. At the moment, ours is based around the gym. So for us, the gym is the biggest revenue builder for it. Brings in the most resources, and thank God it does, because if it doesn't, we wouldn't be there. So if it wasn't, I mean, we're in a position where funding's really difficult for us because of, I mean, I'm not blind to that, and if we didn't make some money, then unfortunately wouldn't be there. That's as simple as it gets.
The focus of United States of Withenshaw these days is to help local people to create better opportunities for themselves. Would you say that's always been the intention?
I'd say that was from day one. We'd looked at the landscape of Withenshaw and thought, there ain't much going on here. It's that diversity thing, isn't it? I mean, the people that come into Withenshaw, the regeneration teams exclusively, very, very rarely come even from a place like Withenshaw, let alone Withenshaw. I think you've got to grasp the culture. I mean, you wouldn't have a load of fishermen or dinner ladies looking at a problem with the nuclear power industry. You know, you'd get experts from within the field, obviously, quite clearly. The only place that doesn't happen ever is inner city estates. Anytime any inner city estates got an issue over what inner city estates had issues over, we get a gang of professionals, and I do mean a gang of professionals coming in, advising us on the way we should live. Well, great. You know, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. The reason why Humpty Dumpty was never repaired, because all the king's horses had the goat putting him back together before the king's men, if you follow the nursery round to its finish. Well, maybe the king's men should have had the first go.
I'll have to get my head around what you've just said to me there. You today provide a number of community-led enterprises.
We do.
There's the gym that seems to lead it, and it seems to be the thing that keeps it on its...
Keeps it open. It keeps us alive, it does.
You've got a sound recording studio.
Yeah.
When did they settle out?
It was around the conference. It was about 2008. We did another conference in 2010, which was a good one as well. We had 600 people at the second one. It would have been 2008, 2009, and we set up Manchester Urban Collective. We had a single out, hit the charts. If you go on YouTube and put in Manchester Urban Collective, we hit the chart, minor inclusion in the charts. But my passion, I don't know if it's coming out yet, but music, I mean, I was alive. My transition between boyhood to manhood, it was 10 years, it was a good 10 year. It wasn't I woke up as a 19-year-old and I had a beard, and that didn't happen. I started working as a doorman, taking on Dorsey Car. I was 19. It was 86. I'd left school. I was 19. And I mean, if you've got another 6 hours, I'll tell you how I fell into Dorsey Car, which is a story in itself. I was still a young man. I was still a boy. And my first nightclub was a place called Fridays. Did a place called Courts in Manchester, and then we did Checkers, and that was it. That was the beginning of it. Checkers was like, then I was a doorman then, but I was still very young-headed. I mean, in terms of music, I mean, you know, the swinging 60s, the Mersey Beat, that was nothing. We had Manchester, you know, we had Gunchester, we were spoiled. We were absolutely spoiled. There were so many fantastic bands and musicians coming out of Manchester in the kind of late 80s, 86, right through the 90s. You know, if you're playing music out, you've got me as a captive audience. And so the music we've got a couple of band music. We've got kids off the estate that just... If I had to choose a place I liked, I mean, I'm not going to disrespect the gym users, but I like the music room.
So basically, the studio was an essential element of it, yeah?
We fell into it. I mean, I'm at a meeting in London with Deutsche Bank, believe it or not. And this kid comes in. He's from the UK Urban Collective. He's the big fella. And he gets introduced to me. He said, have you got any space for a music room? I said, I'll find you space. It's like we're doing in a place and a fight breaks out. And you say, where's the back door? And they say, we ain't got one. And I say, where do you want one? I'll find you space. And we found a room. We booved it. We soundproofed it. And they come. They put the computers in, the software, installed everything for us, basically at absolute minimal cost to us. Very, very lucky. Brilliant. Lucky in love, lucky in life, us.
Brilliant.
And it left us with a very well-equipped sound recording studio, which has been well-used. One of the bands that we were associated with ended up supporting the Stone Roses in the comeback tour. Played to an audience of 40,000. Well, you know, it's not every day run-of-the-mill.
Now, alongside the activities of United States, or within Shore, yeah, you're also involved in providing a secure base, I suppose, for a number of locally led enterprises.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
So you've got the world-famous Mum's Mart.
Mum's Mart, world-famous. India, 4 African nations under the belt so far. The mums from the estate go over there pretty much apart from the pause with the coronavirus. But basically, we go over there and nick all their ideas and bring them back over there. And we run a market and the money that comes in. So some of the mums, I mean, you know, just like everywhere, I mean, are so talented. But places like Wythenshawe, it's hard to shine a spotlight on them. So we have mums that make baby clothes, which are as good quality as you'd find anywhere. Cakes, obviously, smelly stuff, candles, you know, all the kind of crafty stuff you'd expect. And we put a market on one a month, and the profits go, and we take the kids to Blackpool for the day. We always get a week's holiday. We always go away somewhere nice, Scotland, or 50 of us.
Cool. What's Music for Cities?
So we had we are Manchester Urban Collective, and we had some musicians coming through, and some of the music you think, that's amazing, you know, who's making that? And it's this 14-year-old kid on his own with a keyboard. This is amazing. So the Music for Cities was an outlet for us to take talent off the estate and put them in front of a live audience, which ended up with us doing Montreal Jazz Festival in 2014. 20-odd youngsters from, I think, definitely Wythenshawe, obviously, and I think some came from, with Martin, actually, Martin Moscrop, who turned out to be, from a certain ratio, who was the head of music at Manchester College, and we got in touch with Martin, and he said, yeah, can I bring some of my youngsters up? And we said, of course you can.
You're certainly coming across as somebody that doesn't see anything as a problem, but everything as an opportunity.
The problem there was Shaz, my wife, had said a week before, 2 weeks before we were due to go, everything was booked at this point. The venue was booked, everything was booked. And she said, tell everybody to take a picture of the passport and text it to you, so whenever somebody loses the passport, which is inevitable, me included, you've got a documented passport on your phone. Great idea, contacts everybody. How many people did have a passport out of the 20? 14 had passports. Do the maths, 6. I said, we're going to Switzerland. Montrose in Switzerland. We're flying, we're getting on an aeroplane. Probably going to need a passport. We ended up in a queue the size of Wales in Liverpool with 6 kids who didn't appreciate the fact you needed
a passport
to get out of the country to get into Switzerland in the longest queue in the world. But we found a Banksy, a real Banksy.
It can't be bad. Listen, as a result of all the work you've done, you've also helped in the development of all sorts of little mini social enterprises and businesses.
Yeah, yeah.
Window cleaning rounds.
Gardening, 2 hair salons now, 2.
Gardening services, car valeting.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Local eateries.
Cafe, yeah, yeah.
Market stalls.
Market, absolutely, yeah, keep going. I might have forgot something.
Fitness style boot camps.
Yeah.
Is that associated with the gym and its activities?
It got really big. I'm not sure. It was military fitness, but it got pretty. He started out in the gym, and we managed to get him. We were friendly with a local sign writer, so we managed to get his signs for nothing. And he just started out small. Yeah, military, like a boot camp it was. And he got big. He grew a pair of wings and flew off, yeah.
So today, the United States of Within Show is much more than about just being a community gym. It supports individuals and families who deal with poverty, those at risk of homelessness, long-term unemployment, those experiencing alcohol and drug addiction, people with low skills levels, people with physical disabilities and mental health issues, offenders, ex-offenders, and those at the risk of lives of crime.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Now, would you say that ever-changing approaches, fads, trends, and demographics means that the United States is a constant, needs-led, community-owned, ever-evolving work in progress?
I need a copy of that, Terry, because that's spot on, that 100%. It's that real diversity thing, isn't it, there, which changes as the mood changes, yeah. It's not the BBC version of it, this is the real-life version of it. I think the thing is, going back to I mentioned very briefly, the 210 conference we did. Now, we talked to victims of serious street crime, and 600 people applied to them, and that's how serious it was to people, that this is what they wanted to talk about. And from there, very briefly, and to encapsulate what you've just said, is you don't wake up in the morning and you're an engineer or you're a plumber. It takes a long process of learning education. A lot of kids react badly to that school-like environment, yet they are socialised into what is gang culture by the age of 10. So from the second conference, it came, well, using that, what the kids are familiar with and ironically feel safe, the gang structure, why not develop teams of engineers or gardeners or bricklayers or car valeters using that same structure, but they're very familiar with it. It's not something that you've got to teach them. And when we opened the first car valeting, we worked on getting the belligerent gang leader style kid from the estate and putting him in charge. It was absolutely fantastic. It just worked from day one, and we did it with a gardening service, we did it with a window cleaning round, using the structure of the gang that the kids are familiar with. Yet we pulled it off, yet you try putting that on some kind of grant funding application form, let me tell you, forget it.
Thank you for popping in to say hello and have a chat with us.
Oh, my pleasure's all mine.
If you want to find out more, I'm sure you've got a website.
Got a coffee machine that's always on the go and a biscuit barrel that's always full, come and see us.
Just a couple of stories before you go. These are very, very quick ones. So you come into contact with Swampy.
Yes.
The world famous environmentalist.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Tyson Fury used to train every Saturday morning at your gym.
He did.
Brilliant. David Cameron.
Came to Seals, yeah. Became our patron for a while, but you know who our patron is now, don't you? Peter Hook, godfather of Manchester Rock.
Greg Davies, it's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Pleasure's all mine, Terry.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Forever Mancunians. If you like the show, please follow us in your podcast app, and if you have time, leave us a review. To find out how you could work with Forever Manchester, show your support, receive a newsletter, or make a donation, check out forevermanchester.com.